that's right. We are right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I tell you what, you are in for a treat. We have Coach Mack in the building. Got him seated in a chair right there where we can keep our eye on him and ask him some questions this afternoon. Yes, he is the head coach of the football team over there at the Vikings. That's right, on WCRS. You will be able to hear not only on the radio, but on the stream to your smartphone. You'll be able to hear it everywhere. And who will you hear? Well, in studio here with me today is the one and only, the play-by-play guy, Rob Gilchrist. How you doing, Rob?
Doing pretty good.
Well, it's great to have you here. And Coach Mack, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well today, Ann.
We're doing well today. Well, you know, I know that it was tough at the end of last season, but I also know that you view things one game at a time, kind of like that TV show. What was it, One Day at a Time?
Yeah, we take it 1 minute at a time at the high school level, but yeah, you can't afford to get too far ahead of yourself in the business we're in.
That's right. So did you spend the summer, did some of your students be working out and getting ready to go?
I've been working real hard. We started the Monday after graduation and worked 4 days a week from 8 to 12, and we had a great turnout every day, and the kids continued to get in better shape and got stronger, and as we've done all the after the season. So we had a very good summer, and you know, we're looking forward to continuing this preseason up to the first game.
Well, I know one of the things that you think is so important for the students, though, on your football team, it's not just about the football, it's about all the other learning and getting good grades to be able to go on to college or whatever they choose to do.
Well, that's right, Ann. You know, football and all extracurricular activities, particularly athletics, which I'm the athletic director, is a supplement to your education. And hopefully any youngster who is in our athletic program is going to be better prepared for the next step in life, whether it be academic in college or military or whatever adventure they have after graduation. They're better prepared by being in our athletic program, and you know, that's certainly something we pride ourselves on. We said goodbye to Kadarius Neal. He went on to today to go up to college to play football, and you know, Logan Yates will be joining him go as well, and we've had many through the last 6 years go on to play college football, but many more to go on to the military and to just be college students. So we're excited about all our family that's graduated there and moved on and done great things.
Well, what's really interesting is that this is the 20th anniversary of Emerald High School. And I know, Rob, you just had your 10-year reunion, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We had it right downtown, just down the road from here at Montague's. I had some help with it. Of course, as they do with every class, the class president is in charge of all the reunions and notifications and things like that. We had a great class president, a good friend of mine, A.C. Cogburn. You know, Clemson grad, one of my good friends, lives up in Connecticut now. He came down, he put it on Facebook. You know, it's not official or it's not known until it's on Facebook, as they always like to say. And everybody just, we all went up there, and there's about 30 of us. I graduated out of class at 185, but to see a good number show up. And of course, Mr. Graves, who was the principal for the 10 years, his last year was actually my last year at high school. Just to see him there and a couple of the teachers from our time, you know, and just catching up and recollecting on old memories and just having a good time. Like we never left or never, you know, ended our conversations when we used to hang out in high school. It was just good to see everybody. And it's great to be a part of such a great school and a great program, celebrating 20 great years. Who knows if they'll do something special this year at homecoming or one of the big games this year. But it's just good to be a part of a great school like Emerald.
Absolutely. Well, we're actually going to have Chuck Graves on, and he's going to take us back to that first year when the Vikings got their name and how they picked the mascot and all that good stuff. So looking forward to sitting down and talking to him. But I know we want to find out how the team is doing, and I know, Rob, that you just live, breathe, and die this stuff. So what would you like to talk about here with Coach Mack this afternoon?
Well, you know, just a few things, Coach. You know, first off, you know, we went 6-5 last year, 4-3 in the division, in Class 3A Division 1, or Region 1, I should say. What are your thoughts and reflections on how that season and the team overall just grinding it out week after week to – to that first round matchup with Greer that came down to the wire.
And they also changed divisions last year, didn't they?
They did. They were on the move again, you know, this time from Class 3A Region 1 to Class 3A Region 2. It's central to Northern Greenville County Schools. We'll be playing teams like, let's see, Southside, Greer, who we played in the first round last year, Blue Ridge, Chapman, Travelers Rest, Berea, and Eastside. You know, very good quality programs. You know, it's always something that Coach Mack says, you know, whoever we have to face year after year, whether it's the same team, we love to get rivalry started. But with the SCHSL kind of changing their ways every 3 years or so, you just got to be ready to play whoever's on that other sideline across from you.
Sure. So what do you want to ask Coach Mack here?
You know, what are your thoughts on last season, and how is, you know, Ann touched on this a little bit ago. What are your thoughts on how the preseason has been going as you go through another transition year, this time moving from region to region?
Well, last year's football team, they were a special bunch of kids. You know, it was the first team, I think, that I'd had for their all 4 years. All our football teams have been close, but we were really close to that one. And they played tremendously hard every night, fought through a lot of adversity. It was a very demanding schedule. I thought they represented us very well. They never went down easy right up until the last game where we, you know, went to Greer. They had a tremendous running back. We were not able to corral as much as we needed to, and came up just short in that football game, came up just short in the Daniel game. But I was awfully proud of them. Thought they represented us well. They competed hard. They got better from week to week. So, you know, we got no complaints about that football team. There's a lot of special guys in that class, and they just kept setting the bar higher and higher for our program.
And what about this year? How many returning are going to be returning with the team?
Well, we've got a good bit on defense, Ann. You know, we've returned three of our starting defensive linemen with Shervinka and Johnson and Onassis Williams. So those three will be the kind of like the foundation of our defense. We've got Mikhail Kelly coming back at linebacker, who had an exceptionally good year last year. We have Justin Watson, who had 9 interceptions, coming back playing in the secondary along with David Johnson and KJ Chamberlain. So with those guys right there and a few add-ins, we've got Brandon Clark coming back. Brandon was starting for us and broke his ankle the second game of the year. He was a sophomore who was starting. He'll come back and get a lot of time. So we feel real good about the returners on defense and the folks that we're plugging in that, you know, hopefully defense, or particularly early in the season, can be our backbone and carry us until we get our offense up and running. And so, you know, this year's team is excited. There's a lot of good things to look forward to. Offensively, we've got Isaiah Brown that started the last two football games for us and played in 3 of the last 4. That experience, we hope, is going to help him this year. He's a very dynamic football player who can not only throw the football accurately, but can hurt you with his legs. So he's a very exciting kid to watch play. And you know, we're going to be replacing a lot of skill kids, a lot of our production walked out the door with graduation. You lose a kid like Yates and Mill Hackett and Kadarius Neal. Those are guys that had big offensive numbers. So we're going to need kids to step in and fill some of that production. And if we can get those kids up to speed offensive line-wise, we return in Austin Waters at center, which is always a good thing. He'll be the backbone of our offensive line. He's got the most experience coming back. He's probably our best football player up front. We also have 2 young kids that started sophomores that are coming back. Alton is coming back at right guard. He's a big fella, good football player. Griffin Smith's coming back. He played a lot. We moved those 2 kids, Alton Norman and Griffin Smith, from tackle to guard. So while they're coming back, they are learning slightly a different position. So we have those 2 coming back with Jamie Bowman, who played about Griffin actually broke his leg in the Daniel game last year. And so Jamie Bowman actually got about 4 or 5 games of experience. So he has some experience coming back at tackle. So we look to be improved, hopefully, at offensive line. And you know, like I said, if we can get some skilled kids to come through, and some of those kids we're going to need. J.P. Parker's coming back. J.P. was a very dynamic football player last year, sophomore. So we'll need him to continue to what he did last year, if not add on to it, to help the production we lost in Hackett and Neal. So I know if we can get Riley Winnell's coming up from the JVs, who's had a great spring football practice and had a very good preseason so far. We're looking for him to add production. So it's just a matter of getting the offense up to speed and filling in the loss of production and making sure that our defense is as solid as we hope they are.
Wow, okay.
Oh, by the way, we do have Will Tommy returning as a four-year starter at kicker, which is also a very big part of what we need to do early, and not only play good defense, but obviously be good in the special teams, which will be led by his kicking and punting.
Well, there you go. We are here with Coach Mack and Rob Gilchrist. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors that make all this possible. You will be able to hear Emerald Viking football right here on WCRS Friday nights. That's right. It's going to be a great season. We've got our broadcasters back, Jonathan Graves and Rob Gilchrist, who is with me here today. So we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Yes, it's Meet Me at the Diner. Yes, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but we went down to the South Carolina Broadcasting Association's awards banquet Saturday night, and we walked away with two more awards, one for the award-winning Meet Me at the Diner and one for commercial production. So I thank you very much for everybody making this happen and come together. So it was pretty awesome. So, here we are talking about Emerald High School football, but we've just been talking about Clemson here. And since Rob is such a Clemson fanatic, and I happened to ask you about your son, who is helping manage with the Clemson Tigers. What's going on, Coach Mack, with Clemson? You said you're real proud of your son.
Well, I'm proud of my son, and I get it secondhand, but I think they're excited about another good football season. But I have a hard enough time keeping up with the Emerald Vikings, so I'll leave the other pundits to talk about Clemson. But I know that my son's having a ball, and he loves going to school there, and he's had experiences that he would not have had he not been associated with Coach Swinney and the football program. So his mom is tickled to death that he's a part of that team, and so you know that
that's
I'll
awesome.
Leave it at that. But
it's a
great institution, and we're tickled to death that he's a part of it.
That's terrific. Now, Rob, what's your prediction since you follow Clemson so much? We'll take a little break from Emerald, and you can pontificate on how Clemson's going to do this year since you watch them so much.
Well, you know, I keep up with the team. You know, during the commercial break, we're talking about the rings that his son now has. He's got two bowl rings that are about the size of huge marbles. But it's just, you know, following them, you know, having such a strong lineage to him. You know, my dad went there, he was class of 76. My uncle, he went there as well. I had a cousin who was in the military, graduated from there a couple of years ago, and so many friends from high school go there, and I just look forward to it. I tell people, yeah, I love going up there to Death Valley to the football stadium, but I go there, it's like their quote on the entranceway is, in season, every season. That is the honest to goodness truth. You go up there, there's always something to see every time of the year, but of course everyone looks forward to fall down here in the South. But looking up forward at the season, just how last year went, you know, had the real tough loss against Florida State. I was there at that one. I stayed through till the end. A lot of my friends were asking me, you know, it was 51-14, just a tough loss. And they asked me, did you stay the whole time? I was like, I'd stay win or lose because I've been through enough. And, you know, the Carolina loss was tough to take. But there's the only two. We went to the Orange Bowl, battled out with Ohio State, came out on top in that one. You know, Coach Mack's son got a pretty nice ring front for it. And I've been looking forward to this year. We've got Louisville, Syracuse coming down to Death Valley this year. Louisville's joined the ACC for the first time. That'll be exciting. Hate that we won't be able to see Teddy Bridgewater try to light it up against our defense. And I always tell people, you know, I call the games on Friday nights, and I go to the Clemson home games on Saturdays. And it's, I don't know if it's I'm around the game so much, but it seems like the games are mirror images of each other. Like, I'll be sitting in Death Valley with my family and my friends, and a play will happen. Like, we'll score a touchdown, and I'll be like, that looks like the one that happened last night against Daniel or Seneca. This game's going just like, is this deja vu? It's deja vu 2 days a week, and which is always exciting. But I think we'll have a good year. We may, hopefully we'll get Carolina's number finally and end the losing streak to them. And we'll have to go down to Tallahassee in a couple, week two or three. And, of course, we got to go to Athens. I know your son's looking forward to that, to play Georgia. And that's always a house of pain for many teams. Hopefully we'll come out of there with a victory for ourselves, for Clemson. But it should be another successful year. We just got, you know, seven different kinds of smoke at running back. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of players at the spring game, and I talked to a lot of people who were around the game and around the team, and I asked, how is it from your perspective? And they say, oh, the team looks good. One of my mom's friends went to the ladies' clinic recently, and she got to talk to Coach Morris, the offensive coordinator, who I got to meet at the spring game back in April, and she asked, how's the team look? He goes, we're going to be just fine. We got a good group of guys. We got Cole Stout. We got Deshaun Watson coming in as a freshman. Got good receivers. It's a lot of players by committee. It's not leaning on one or two guys at running back or receiver. We've got five or six on both sides of the football, especially at those playmaker spots in running back and receiver. So, and of course, our D-line, much like Emerald's, a lot of, I think three or four of them are coming back. Vic Beasley, he's the talk of the town now, and it should just be another successful year, but we won't know till, you know, August 30th rolls around, the night after we play at 96, how the season's going to look right then and there.
And you'll be able to hear it right here on WCRS, because we carry Clemson right here.
I'll tell you one story about Clemson.
Okay.
A lot of our kids, we talk football all the time, and they're always asking me over at Emerald, who's your favorite college football team? And, of course, as a high school coach, my favorite college football team is whichever one has one of my kids on it, playing. And so now, obviously, Clemson's drawn a little more of attention with Matthew, my son, being a part of the program. But back 5 years ago when I came to Emerald from Anson County, a lot of people said, what was the toughest part of leaving? I said, the toughest part of leaving Anson County was leaving a young man by the name of Stephon Anthony. Stephon Anthony played for me in Anson County, and obviously Clemson fans will recognize that name as the starting middle linebacker, the kid that made the interception that sealed the Orange Bowl game. And so we'd have had him back for two more years at Anson, so that was kind of tough leaving that kind of kid. Stephon's not only a great, great, unbelievable athlete, he was as good athlete as he was, he was a better person, and that's part of what makes him so special. So, make a long story short, obviously I got some feelings for Clemson now that I wouldn't normally have with Stephon being there and my son Matt, but I pull for whatever college football team is willing to give our kids the opportunity to play.
I think that's pretty awesome. Well, you've had some scrimmages already, right? You've got a scrimmage coming up?
Yeah, we're going to go to weather willing, we're going to go tomorrow evening and scrimmage at Seneca with Coach Cathcart's football team and a team from Powdersville. Part of the scrimmage at Greenwood was rained out. We didn't get to scrimmage against Seneca. We only scrimmaged Greenwood and Clinton. So we're going to go up there tomorrow and get another one under our belt. Our starting center was out of the scrimmage last Friday. We held him out for precaution, and we'd like to get him a little work along with some other guys. So hopefully we're going to go up there and have a good night tomorrow night and learn a lot about our football team.
Sure. And, of course, that's where that's going on the road. I mean, that's tough, isn't it, going on the road, Coach?
Yeah, it is. And, well, we've been road warriors, since we've gone to 3A with Region 1, the travel was quite a bit, obviously, if you look at the schedule. But in any region we're going in, the travel's even farther. So it'll probably do our football team good to practice that some even. So going to Seneca is something that you don't quite get used to, those kind of trips, but it's something that we've done before. So it'll be good practice for what we got coming up during the season.
Absolutely. Well, hey, it's time for South Carolina Radio News. After we come back, we'll have Coach Mack and we'll have Rob Gilchrist, and we'll talk some more about Emerald Viking football.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Yes, it's 4:36 in the afternoon. We have Coach Mack the athletic director for Emerald High School. And, of course, we have Rob Gilchrist, the voice of the Emerald Vikings, of course, along with Jonathan Graves, the stat guy. I tell you what, it's quite a team effort that you two have, and you have really quite a synergy going between the two of you after doing this, what now, 5 years?
This will be our fifth year officially, week two, because, you know, when we started, we had Guy and Riv on the other staff, and when we played at 96, we lucked out because we had the two stations then, and so we just had a three-man tandem work that game at 96, where we'll be this year for week one. Always excited to go to Wilson-Campbell every year, or every 2 years. And then week two, Jonathan came in. I remember you called me up the week after, like right before the 96 game. You said, we'll have somebody work with you. I've got a couple of guys I'm talking to. And then you told me it's Jonathan Graves. I was like, awesome. Because we went to elementary school together. And we were little kids. Of course, his dad, 10-year principal at Emerald. I was just two great individuals. And to know that they're father and son just tells you what a great family they have there. Of course, his younger brother, Steven's a good guy. You know, the whole family, just hardworking, dedicated, and, you know, getting to work with Jonathan, it works. And, you know, a funny story from a couple of years ago, one of my sisters, when she lived in North Carolina at the time, she listened into one of our games.
On the internet, I guess.
On the internet.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. WCRS1450AM.net.
And, you know, she listened to the game, and she tries to hear it in, and my parents try to listen. I've had a lot of friends listen in, and friends of family and things like that, but she listened to a game, and she called me up the next day or a couple days later. She's like, you sounded great on the radio. And she asked, she's like, how what's y'all's system in the booth? Like, she thought we had, like they have in the old school baseball arenas, the little switch box where you switch the little lever back and forth. It's your turn to talk, my turn to talk, because we went back and forth. He goes, do you have something like does your light come on when it's your turn to talk, or is it his light come on? I was like, no, we just talk. We're standing there in the booth, you know, we got our headsets on, we're calling the action, just keeping everything in our peripheral, and we try not to be one of those tandems, those duos in the booth that, you know, their sentences run together, you don't know who's talking when or what. And she was like, well, that's great. I mean, and how long have you been doing this? Like 3-4 years? And like, you guys sound like 10-year, 20-year veterans, because you're not, she's like, I can't tell you how many times Josh, my brother-in-law, has listened to a game on the radio, and the guys are just overlapping each other, one after the other, and to hear us is a good thing, because she knows she can understand us, and we got good dialect, and we just sound professional. It's always good to get a compliment, especially from family and friends. And I tell people about you got a compliment from a radio manager down in the lower part of the state near Savannah, and this is one of my favorite stories to tell. You told me and Jonathan one day after a game that he called you up, or you got in touch with him. He said, how long have your guys been together? It's like, oh, a couple of years. He goes, they sound amazing, professional. That was one of the best compliments. Me and Jonathan were completely speechless after getting a compliment like that, and that just shows you, you know.
Well, you got to have that synergy.
You
got to have that working together, just like you have to have on the team. But, you know, part of what makes you guys good is you're prepared. That's right. You're prepared every week. And I know, Coach Mack, for you getting this staff ready, you have a lot of help doing that. You've got a lot of other coaches that work with you, right?
Yeah, we got a full coaching staff. And
you have some new ones this year.
We do have some new football coaches. We were unfortunately lost our offensive coordinator, Chris Dill, who moved on to T.C. Roberson in Asheville, North Carolina, to be a head coach. And Coach Anthony Freight went over to with Coach Leiter at Lawrence to be his defensive coordinator. So we had some holes to fill, and we were able to do that. We hired Kevin Jones out of Blue Ridge to be our defensive coordinator, and were able to bring on Wayman Jackson, a very experienced linebacker coach and defensive back coach, to help us. We added Coach Bufkin to help with our wide receivers. So we've added Mitch Felton, who is going to help us with the offensive line. And we added Drew Zambetti, who's going to help us in the secondary as well. So we were able to add some folks to our coaching staff, and I'm excited about them, and they're doing a real good job.
That's terrific. You know, it takes a lot of people to run a football team, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. But there's so many individual parts that have to come together. We're fortunate enough to, particularly this year, to have not only a lot of good numbers in our staff, but to have some quality people that know the game and have been in education to understand the process. So, yes, it certainly Football is you know, no one player can win a football game, and it takes a whole staff to get a bunch of kids ready to go play on Friday.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, I know you got some questions you'd like to ask Coach Mack here. What you got to say here?
Oh, we know we've been talking about the transitioning from class to class and region to region. You know, for so many years we were class 2A, and we stayed where we were. We played, you know, the 96s, the Abbevilles, the Salutas every single year. We got used to that, and then after 04, 05 is when transition started to come. New schools sprouted up, small schools combined to become big schools, and everybody just had to work with the change, and no team has done that more than the Lakelands in Emerald. And, you know, that's what Coach Mack always delivers every week is, you know, doesn't matter who we play that coming Friday, whether it's a team we played before or a new region team that we have to play, just be ready and do what you can and try to get that W. And, you know, Coach Mack, you know, you talk about the transitions from region to region, and how about the JV players that get to move up and get their chance at playing backups? Maybe a few starters will fly in there depending on how the preseason goes. But how have the JV players that moved up to varsity level been doing during the preseason drills and scrimmages that you are really taking
right.
note of?
Well, one of them is Willie Reynolds, who's scheduled to start in our backfield. Willie had a really good JV last year. He also, you know, he got some time on Friday night spot play, but his role is looking to increase significantly. He's had a great, like I said, he had a great spring practice, running the ball with a lot more authority, and then so far in the preseason, he's done a nice job for us. So we look for a big contribution from him. We'll have several move up and do a good job. Dee Drennan on the defensive side was a full-time JV player. He played a lot of football on Fridays, spot played on special teams a good bit, and actually played on some defense. If you might remember, he was the youngster that blocked the punt at Daniel mm-hmm. and scored with it. So Dee scheduled to start for us on the defensive side. So those two are a couple of guys coming up that are looked to break into the starting lineup. But we've got others that will play significant reserve roles and be on special teams. So we're quite pleased with the kids that have moved up, particularly those two.
And it's always good, you know, I remember that play with Drennan. You know, we get our rosters every week to prepare for and call during the action. We're just naming names, numbers, you know, talking about their backgrounds or how they've been playing. And it's always good, I guess, those JVs that get a shot. Me and Jonathan always call them the no-name boys. And after that play, we were like, I don't know that kid's name. We'll try to get it. But if he plays like that for next 2 or 3 years, I'm sure he's a JV guy. We're okay with that. But we'll get his name soon. You'll know who it is when he moves up to varsity level.
And you know, we had worked that particular block in practice all week, and we knew Dee was the guy for it because he's got good size and got really good speed. Unfortunately, during the Monday, we practiced it. He got through, couldn't put his hands on the ball, couldn't block it. Tuesday, we practiced it. He didn't block it. Wednesday, we practiced it. He didn't block it. But it was there. I don't know what it was, but I said, you know, we're going to go with the kid. And we called it. At Abadog, first time he ever blocked a punt in his life was in a game, scooped it and scored. So, you know, sometimes what you see in practice is what you're going to get, but not every time, evidently, because he was over. He had struck out in practice, but he sure hit a home run that night on that play.
You get a lot of good kids coming up from Westview, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That's our feeder school, and, you know, they're our lifeline. And, you know, Coach Tommy down there does a nice job, and we couldn't have a football team without Westview.
That sounds great. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors when we come back. I know Rob will have more questions for the coach, and I'll try to throw a few in too. So don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Emerald football right here on WCRS Friday nights. How many days is it, Rob, till football season officially opens? You haven't got it counted down yet?
I've been counting down since the day after the Greer game. We're in the We're in the low 20s. I know, and I joke with John. I was like, I'm ready for next season. As soon as this season ends, bring on August. And but it's just a couple weeks away, and you know, and it's good. You know, we talk about moving from region to region and class to class. That can get kind of old hat, because Coach Mack, I know, talking to him in the interviews in the post game, he always wants to build rivalries with teams, especially region teams, because you want that notoriety and you want that the build up. Like, oh, we got to play this team again. Let's get ready for them. They got us last year. Let's get them again. And but when you move, you're like, we just got to get something. But that's the great thing about non-region schedules is that never changes. We'll have a new one this year. We're not playing Ware Shoals in week two, but the good thing is we switched them out with our old friend Daniel. We got to go to got to go up there to Daniel High School. Beautiful. I think the school's about 3-4 years old. The new high school is there in at Singleton Field, and you know, it's one of the best venues I've seen in some time, aside from, of course, good old Frank Hill Stadium. We love going there more than any place. But to get to, we lucked out with that because we didn't know, I'm sure, before they made the switch around with the non-region, we'd get to play 96. Of course, we play Abbeville week three. And I know when Ware Shoals dropped out, or however that went, we're like, oh, we're going to have to play another new team. But they said, no, yeah, we're scheduling Daniel for you. We're like, that's perfect. We played there last year. We came real close to getting a big win up there. You know, Oglesby just took care of business against us. It was a tough loss for our boys, you know, only losing by 7 in that game. But at least with those three, we have that notoriety. Of course, we've got the small town rivalries with 96 and Emerald. I always love playing them because everyone's got friend connections. I know I've got family connections in both cities, so it means a lot when we play those teams. And then getting to play Greer, the team we played in the playoffs last year, week one at home to start off region play, is, you know, those first four games to get us started, especially the first three to play against, you know,
I just want to say this. The first year I was, you know, the color girl, right, for football there, and we won a game, and I don't remember what it was, and they go, oh, well, Ann, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't count. And I was like, and here we go. We won a game, and it doesn't count because it's one of the first four games. I never understood that, but life goes on. But Coach Mack, as you're getting ready for this 96, you'll be over there. What do you think about the new coach over there?
Oh, Coach Doolittle, outstanding man, does things the right way, tremendous record in coaching. He's been successful there before, and I'm sure he'll have his group ready to play. He's a formidable competitor, no doubt about it. Thank a lot of Coach Doolittle.
Okay, so but you'll be ready, and the guys will be ready, right?
Well, I would hope so. I think that we've always that game's always been pretty special, and you know, it's always well attended, whether it's down at 96 or at Frank Hill Stadium. So you know, it's a big crowd. It's exciting. It's the opener, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So anything else you can tell us about the team coach that you think is germane that we need to know getting ready for this year?
Well, yeah, I think we've covered a good bit of it. You know, we've got some exciting football players. We've got a good group of youngins. It should be a lot of fun on Friday nights, and, you know, hope everybody would come out and support them. They've done a lot of work to get ready, and that doesn't mean you're going to win every football game, obviously, but and I'm proud of them. I think our community will be proud of them, and, you know, not only will our football team be there, but our cheerleaders have worked real hard, and our band is getting ready. I see them out there on the backfield practicing. So, you know, on Friday night, it's not just about the football players. Obviously, it's a football game, but a good bit of our school will be on display. Our ROTC will be out working hard with Colonel Taylor, who does a fabulous job for our school, and our band will be there, cheerleaders, like I said, and a good
and
bit
of
our
PTO doing their part, right, out there. My goodness.
Good bit of our student body. So, you know, if you, you know, you're not only supporting football, you're supporting the educational process, which is Friday night football is a big part of that, and we just look forward to it.
Absolutely. And if you can't go to the game, you can listen to it on the radio. One of the other things that I know a lot of people, Rob, like to do is tune us on in their smartphones, because mm-hmm. they can hear you guys and be right there in the stands watching the game.
Oh, yeah. It's we live in a great day and age this century, just with the internet age. And that's what's helped out small schools and small radio stations like WCRS. People are like, AM stations, you know, they haven't been big in a long time, but, you know, thank goodness we can hook into the internet system, go right on the online, and you can listen there. I mean, we've had listeners down in Savannah. We've had them in Texas. We've had them all over the Eastern Seaboard. I think the Pendleton game, I remember, and you made mention, it was around Veterans Day, and you told me that an Emerald grad, I think a year or two before me, was in stationed in Germany. He was in the military with his family, and he was listening in, and I gave him a shout-out and kind of tied it in with the Veterans Day coming up that year, and it just blew me away that that someone would listen to us all the way across the pond, and but that's the great thing, that they can listen to on their tablets, on their iPhones, their iPads, their iMacs, their iWhatevers, they can listen to
the iMacs,
Emerald's Emerald football on an AM station. And we've been lucky. It's and with our new system that we've had, and I want to thank Guy and Riv. They told us when we got our new radio box for the booth, they said, you'll like this one. It's got more bells and whistles on it, and that helps us out a lot.
You guys sound good whether you're here in town or whether you're on the road, mm-hmm. and that's pretty awesome. What do you think is the toughest team out there, Coach, for the season? What do you think?
Schedule?
I mean, you've got on your schedule here. What do you –
Well, there's several very good opponents. It's hard to say in the preseason – there's a lot of good teams, particularly in that first set there. 96 will always be a tough game, particularly when you're away. We know the quality of Daniel. I think they're ranked in the top 10. And, Abbeville's football program is always strong. And then you got Greer. So those first four games, you can pretty much just pick one. It'll all be very, very tough. And Chapman's got a good football team in the region. And so, anybody we play on any Friday night can get us. But we feel like if we're prepared, we ought to have an opportunity to be more than competitive in any game we play. So those first four games, though, they're really good opponents and tough football games. Like I said, 96 away, it doesn't matter what the football teams are or that kind of game. And, of course, mm-hmm. the Abbeville game is a huge rivalry.
And you always worry about him getting hurt during those first four games, don't you?
Well, I mean, I worry about him getting hurt in every game.
Right,
that's kind of part of football, and our youngins will be okay.
He'll be okay. All right. Well, you heard it right here on WCRS, Coach Mack saying it. We got homecoming coming up on the, I guess that's on the 3rd. Is that right? Is that what it is? Home. Yeah, that'll be homecoming October 3rd. So you've got that coming up. And, Rob, as we take it to the top of the hour, anything else you'd like to throw in there for us?
Well, just looking ready for another season. You talk about going to 96 every single year. When we joined in the AM teams, it was at the old press box. And I remember me, Guy, and Riv sitting out on the roof of the concession stand of the old press box, set up on a little buffet table, and we're just switching out two-man tandems throughout the quarters. And it was humid. It's the end of August. Down here in the south, it'll be 80-some degrees even when the sun's down. And we were like, man, we just got to tough through it. And we've done that ever since with Jonathan and I. We always do scout outs more on the teams. We also scout out the stadiums for road games. Like, okay, do they have a big press box on the home side, or at least a one on the away side? We don't want to be standing outside in the elements like we have been on a few games. But it's talk about the fandom and the fanfare we get at Wilson Campbell. I go out there a week or two prior, and just to scout it out, see how it looks, the layout, and it's always great to see. It shows you the pride in small town football like you have here in Greenwood, small city like here in 96. And you see the blankets and the little seat cushions already laid out in certain spots at Wilson Campbell.
They
haven't even played yet for a week away, and they've got their places reserved, it looks like. And that just shows you the kind of great fan base that they have for the Lakelands. We're in a great spot, and I know the teams we got to play in region. The good thing is, we talked about this during the commercial break, we get to go back and forth, and I know that'll get real tiring for Coach Mack and the boys and for Jonathan and myself, but getting to go back and forth is a good transition once again to go to a new region. But we're just ready to spot the ball and get back in the booth. And I know Coach Mack and the team are ready to get back on the gridiron and start things off. But we got to just get there. We got 18 days and we'll be ready.
He does know how many days it is.
I just know the next day's coming. And, my wife mentioned to me this morning that This was my 30th season as a coach.
30th season,
yeah,
wow.
I started in 1984, not as a head coach, but as a coach on a football team. And she also reminded me that this will be her 27th season as a coach's wife. I think they probably have it harder than the coaches themselves. So that's another shout out right there to my wife, because I know how hard it is to be a coach's wife.
Absolutely. Well, it's been great having you here. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Coach Mack, we wish you all the success. We'll be right here supporting you every step of the way. Thanks for coming out this afternoon.
Well, we thank WCRS for covering the Vikings, and I know our kids and our parents are proud to be on this radio station, so thank you for all you do.
Absolutely. And, Rob, I know you're excited. You're counting down the days, and the season will start on the 29th. You'll be able to hear it right here on WCRS. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.